everyone, and welcome into episode number 291 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I am Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Ross.
And I am Groot. No. I don't know where that came from. I don't know. Anyway, so we have interesting facts that will get turned into questions, which will then be asked at your trivia events, and you get bonus points just for being awesome and wanting to learn stuff.
Hooray.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Ross is a host.
Wait. If you get points for being awesome, I should never be allowed to play trivia.
Oh, did the meanness move to you? From our last three episodes, it went to Michael, then it went to Ross, now it's to you.
Is that the heads up? Like, this episode?
No. Or was that like a, strapping, I'm going to get all of the bonus points, Nick.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Thank you. Ross got it. If you give away bonus points for being awesome, I should stay away because then nobody else would ever win.
Oh, I took it as the other way is that you would never get any points.
Oh, no.
You get zero.
I was going the other way.
You would.
Because I am so awesome.
You would. My eyes hurt from rolling.
So honestly, I very rarely, all the women in my life, my wife, my daughter, you know, Lindsay, I very rarely see the actual color of their eyes. It's just the whites
the white
with a little bit of color at the top. Yeah, it's constant.
It's not just women. It's everyone, to be clear. Okay, so facts. Michael, should I go first? Do you want to go first?
I can go first.
All right, we both said that we have money-related facts. Cha-ching, ba-ling, cha-ling.
So.
That was me making a cash register dance song.
You know what? You're a lot easier to deal with when you haven't eaten before the podcast. Let's, from now on, just no food before the podcast.
So everybody, anybody that doesn't know, I'm from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an affinity for In-N-Out.
And you hate humidity.
It is better.
Wait, the fast food chain? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm just going to stop you there, yes.
Okay.
So on average, how much does a store manager make?
Of In-N-Out.
Of In-N-Out.
$35,000 a year.
Okay.
I'm going to go higher.
This is a full-time position.
Full-time position.
And those In-N-Outs...
It's a salary.
Yeah, and it's consistently In-N-Outs in like the top fast food places, period. Like, they make a lot of money.
Yeah, their standard workers make $13 an hour starting.
Wow.
Which is, I do believe, $2 higher than California's minimum wage.
Good for them. Right. Way to go, burgers. And what do they have, fries or tots or what?
Fries.
Fries.
Delicious fries.
What's their
delicious
signature thing?
Oh, animal style. The double-double animal style.
What is animal style? What does that mean?
It's grilled onions.
Is that,
onions.
Is that
and like a mustard and like a
Thousand Island
Thousand
dressing.
Island dressing type
Time
situation.
Out. Is the In-N-Out and the animal style, is that sexual?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, there's
have
just,
you never
Lindsay,
been to
wait,
In-N-Out?
Wait.
I've never been to In-N-Out.
Wait. Lindsay, yes. Yes. Both the terms In-N-Out and animal style are sexual.
They do sound it, though, right?
They absolutely are. You are 100% correct.
But
now, they are not necessarily intended that way by the burger chain.
Okay.
Right?
Right,
but yes,
yeah.
The answer to your question is yes.
I'm
okay,
so tempted to just bring back a double-double for Lindsay next time I come back from California.
Is it like that Icelandic McDonald's meal
exactly.
That's under glass? Like,
yeah, that's been there in the...
Because I think they're just now getting to Texas.
Okay.
In-N-Out is?
In-N-Out,
oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Like,
they're coming
family
east.
I have a family, some family in Plano, Texas, and they were like, we just got an In-N-Out.
If you wanted to know, I looked up animal style on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
And it refers to a food alteration which can be ordered at the West Coast famous In-N-Out burger chain. So it is listed on Urban Dictionary as the In-N-Out.
What you'd also need to know, animal style, not listed anywhere on their menu. Their menu, super basic. Hamburger, cheeseburger, double-double.
Uh-huh.
Drinks, fries. That is it. Their menu is super simple. Any alterations are off menu.
Question.
The answer.
How many patties are in a double-double?
Two. It's double meat, double cheese.
Well, that's
wow.
Ridiculous.
We found something that you are an expert in.
There's actually online a full list of like the In-N-Out
the alterations.
Secret menu.
Okay. Yeah.
There's the 4x4.
The 4x4.
Which is
four patties, four meat, four cheese.
Four meat, four cheese.
That's a double-double. You double it up and then double it again. That's four patties.
It's better than what you guys have here on the East Coast, okay?
There's a double-double animal style in Urban Dictionary, which is the process of grabbing two drinks, usually vodka lemonade, with two straws and consuming them simultaneously, in turn saving you from lining up at the bar again. So instead of double-fisting, they're saying double-double animal style is a thing. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a lot more other animal style stuff that we don't want to get into, but
it's a different podcast.
It's a different pod. It's We Don't Know Either After Dark. Okay, so back to the original question.
Back to the original podcast.
Okay. Given California minimum wage in restaurants?
Yeah, according to this article,
Because like servers have to make a certain amount of money in California.
So this got posted in January, and it says minimum wage in California for larger companies is $11 an hour.
Right. So my family has a restaurant in Southern California, and servers have to get minimum wage for servers, which is a little like $12. So I'm guessing a manager on a salary, I'm guessing it could be like $60,000.
I was going to say $65,000.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. Because you figure 13 an hour, 40 hours a week, that's about $27,000 for the year.
Right.
So, so it's like, probably like double. Yeah. I would assume double that. So I'm going to say 65.
I'm guessing a lot of it has to do with the success of that specific restaurant. Like I know that the McDonald's that's by our office is like the single like highest selling McDonald's anywhere in the country.
And
like,
if
they make more money there. Something that we should verify.
That's
is it true?
At one point it was. But it's definitely up there. It's always up there. Just because and the way they run the place, like they get hundreds of cars through the drive through in the lunch hour. Hundreds. It's amazing. They've got people going all the way down the street, down the line, taking orders and just throwing food at them as they drive by. They're really good.
I eat there more than I should.
Okay, what's your guess though, Nick?
I guessed first.
Okay. I forgot.
You guys were all very low. In fact,
wow.
If we halved the number, you guys were still low.
Okay. Whoa.
They're making six figures.
Wow.
What?
The average In-N-Out manager.
In-N-Out, a cult favorite fast food chain, sees its store managers earning over $160,000 on average.
What That's am I insane. Doing as a teacher?
Yeah, screw that. I'm going to go to work for an In-N-Out.
Managers oversee one location each. And this is according to one of the Bay Area news. Ultimately become responsible for all aspects of the restaurant, from employer training to the cleanliness of the tops.
Okay.
All aspects, it's all things. And according to Glassdoor, it's really tough work.
Right, but that's the average. So that means that there are In-N-Out managers making $250,000 a year?
Potentially. Like, I don't know, like, maybe one of the L.A. ones or something like that, or one of those really high-traffic ones.
Yeah.
But
it's set, according to this article from USA Today, $160,000 on average.
That's amazing. What a great, interesting fact.
Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, well done. Round of applause.
All right, according Lindsay, you want to go next?
According to the Thrillist, the busiest McDonald's is in Connecticut on the I-95 service plaza.
So,
but they have other, like most of the other ones, like the busiest Starbucks is.
Right, right. But
where? I was asking.
Pike Place, Seattle.
New York.
No, Times Square. Yeah, Times Square. The busiest Taco Bell is in Anchorage, Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
There's no food in any other direction.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But that's, to be fair, I did not say busiest. I said highest grossing.
Oh, highest grossing. Okay, sorry. No. I think you meant busiest. Yeah,
like they do the most sales.
Mm. Got it. TGI Fridays is Dallas-Fort Worth. Popeyes.
Louisiana?
Yeah, New
Orleans. Atlanta Airport.
Yeah.
Oh, the Atlanta Airport specifically. Yeah.
Popeyes is good. I want Popeyes.
Yeah,
we haven't done Popeyes in a while.
We haven't.
Domino's is by one of the military bases in North Carolina. Applebee's in Times Square as well. And then Dunkin' Donuts in a place in Massachusetts. So kind of fun.
That makes
bonus
sense.
Fact.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, just bonus facts. Okay, so my fact is in relation to money and also in relation to happiness. So we'll see if the In-N-Out Burger managers are going
qualify for happiness.
Yeah, so an article or research, I don't know, it's one of those really intensive ones. There are sources. There's an abstract, you know, like academic sources.
Good.
studied, and they wanted to know, this is a new word that I learned, when you have enough money to satiation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know that word?
Yeah.
Satiate.
Okay. I was looking at it and I was like, I don't know how to pronounce this. I had to look up the pronunciation guide. Satiate. But, so it means satisfy to the full, right?
Right.
Did you have to use the YouTube tutorials? Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
So how to pronounce it? Wait.
Yeah. I never even heard that word.
Is it that you've never heard the word?
Satiate. I've never heard that word.
Sate?
No.
No? Okay. So like you're hungry and then you eat a meal and you're sated.
I've never heard that.
Okay.
Sorry. It's cool. I learned it. I learned it and I was excited to share
Sweet.
It with the world.
Learning
so satiate means you're satisfied to the full. So they tried to figure out what was that dollar amount where you are satisfied
content.
And you're happy. Yeah. Income satiation. That's what they've called it. So what this is worldwide. So obviously certain regions wealthier than not. But on average worldwide, what is that dollar amount
in order to be fully.
Yeah, because after this point, it starts to tip back down that as your income grows, then you become less and less happy.
Okay.
So this is the peak where you're happiest. So and does worldwide? Money buy happiness? So does that make sense? Or do I
understand? No, we're good.
Okay. I couldn't tell if you were quizzical or if you were pondering
the question. I'm just wondering, so is this like yearly salary?
Yearly salary, yes.
Okay. How much money per year do you need in order to be content?
Yeah, this is, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, the point at which money doesn't make you any happier is how it's been described.
Got so it. this is the, so I have.
And it's per year.
I am older than everybody here. And I used to have these conversations all the time when I was in my 20s with my friends. And we were talking about, you know, what we were doing with our lives and everything else. Our basic, the one question where we had vast debates, and I promise, Lindsay, I will tie this into your fact in a second. How much money is FU money?
Yeah, we've talked about
that.
We've talked about this on the podcast. We've talked about it in the office. And what I learned from those conversations with different people, it's always an interesting conversation to have. I've never had it with you.
This is true.
How much money would you consider to be FU money?
Like, you can just go in and have so much, you can just do whatever the hell you wanted with it.
The best example I can give you is, have you seen the Batman Begins? Where Bruce Wayne walks into the hotel and he just like buys the hotel. Like, yes. F you. Like, that. Like, how much do you consider? Like, oof. What is that number for you?
I don't even know.
$500 million.
Yeah, I was gonna, like a year? Like, or like what your net worth is?
Yeah, what's like,
net worth is.
Like, how much money do you have in the bank where it's just like, this is like F you money?
You have to have a couple hundred million to just do whatever you want, right?
Okay. Like, okay, because that was. Do you remember what your answer was, Michael, when I initially asked you?
I want to say 10, but after talking with you, that number moved around quite a bit, and I don't think I've landed on a hard number since.
Do you remember what your original answer was to the question?
I don't.
It was $250,000.
That sounds right.
That was your original answer to the question.
I'm a pretty simple guy.
Yeah, like, but that was that when I said, how much money is FU money? And Michael goes, I don't know, like a quarter million? Like, that's how much he would think is enough to go, you know, just whatever.
You know, you think of, like, mansions.
Right.
And buying a hotel, like, in Batman.
That's not, for me, that's not going to make me happy. Just like, okay, I'm going to buy the hotel. Now I have an obligation.
Sure.
So Michael is satiated
at
a lesser number.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Than this hypothetical figure that Nick is alluding to.
And that is the basis for what I'm talking about, is that per person, per desire, per country, per cultural representation, per whatever is deemed by that person's society as being that level, I would assume that the number would change. Now, if the study went through and took all of those averages and then averaged it together across the world, I guess that's how they came up with the number.
Right.
But per person, that's just such a drastically different number.
Per person, so it's not per family. So a salary of what per year to be satiated?
In dollars.
Income satiation. So in dollars.
I mean, I'm going to throw – you got people in India making $2 a day.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying there. It varies – you know, it's going to – you know, the number goes a long way in Sweden versus Thailand versus wherever it is you are in the world. L.A., even, you know, L.A. versus Little Rock. It doesn't – you know, it changes. So this is just on average worldwide. So what do you got? What are your guesses, folks?
I'm going to say $500,000.
$500,000. All right. $500,000?
I'm going to go less. I'm going to say like – 80,000 a year.
80K?
I'm going to go below that. I'm going to say 10.
10K. Wow.
Yeah. That's worldwide averages with all the poverty all over the world and everything else. If you're living in the dirt and you're homeless with your family and you had $10,000 a year to feed them, that would be satiated.
Yeah. And that's the point of, you know, needs and material desires all factor into that. It was actually Ross, you're the closest. $95,000.
Interesting. Okay.
So $95,000 for your full life evaluation to be income satiated. My word of the day.
Right.
So I guess if you average, like, you know, no debt, a house, a car.
If you've got your hierarchy
occasional trip.
Needs met.
Yeah, this is according to psychologists from Purdue University. So we'll definitely link to their long article and their study. They spent a lot of research on it. So thank you guys very much, because that is a very interesting fact, at least to me.
We didn't know that either. So.
Yeah. We didn't know that either. Cool. Either, yeah.
Either.
Well, I'm going to jump in here because we've had a reference to Los Angeles, and we have Michael as a Southern Californian talking about In-N-Out. I was in Los Angeles a few weeks ago and had learned some interesting fun facts about the city and some of the weird laws that exist in the city of angels.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you had to go there for your magic.
This is true. Yes, I went for magic. And I learned that there is a number of how many sheep you can drive in a truck down Hollywood Boulevard specifically.
Oh. Okay.
And I would like to know what you think that number is.
Here's what I want to do. I now have a new goal in life.
Truck, sheep, Hollywood Boulevard.
Minus one.
Plus one.
Oh, yeah. Plus one.
And wait for a cop to give me a ticket.
Yep. Yep.
Because I'll tell you what, I'll come back on this podcast and have one of the greatest stories of all time.
Yeah. And you have to go to court in order to.
Absolutely.
Yes. This is, sir, I had a pregnant sheep on the truck. I did not realize that if she went into labor, I would be over the pre-prescribed number of sheep.
I did the best I could to turn onto La Cienega.
Right. Could I?
Can't make that left.
Right. Can't make that left.
You
dude.
Can't drive down the street, but can you cross it?
Yes. Because okay. You're not on Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
But yes.
10.
20.
20.
See, you guys, how many sheep do you think can fit in the back of a truck?
Well, it depends on the truck.
I can speak to this.
I assume it's a...
I thought your expertise was cows.
No, her expertise is meat.
That's true. We did not specify.
It depends on where the truck is going, but if it's going to the slaughterhouse, Lindsay's got it.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to go with Lindsay 10.
No, actually, I don't know. It depends on the truck, right? I mean, a pickup is different than, you know, when
truck.
You actually have like a livestock transport, those vehicles.
So I don't think the vehicle matters because you could have a livestock transfer. You know.
What if you're towing a trailer?
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
Okay, does that two different numbers then?
What is the maximum number of sheep
transported?
You can transport down Hollywood Boulevard on Hollywood Boulevard.
15.
In Los Angeles, California.
In Los Angeles,
because it's going to be weird. 13.
So you guys are very low.
Low? Right. 100.
The correct answer is 2,000.
2,000?
Now
so
I need
really
2,000
to
one sheep.
Yeah.
So this just got harder.
I am guessing that this is like for studios, right?
Sure.
And then you need like animal extras, right?
Duh. Yeah,
but,
obviously.
But yeah, you can bring 1,999 sheep.
And you're good.
On Hollywood Boulevard. And you're totally fine. Over 2,000.
That's where we draw the line.
You
got to draw the line
fine.
Somewhere,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, but there's other really crazy laws here. I found this little article after I heard that.
I had a mental picture of me driving 2,001 sheep down Hollywood Boulevard, and the cop having to count the sheep to make sure I'm under the limit.
Wait.
2,001 a sheep odyssey.
Here's the thing. It's the perfect crime. Because once he starts counting sheep, he'll just fall asleep, and then you can drive away.
True. That's good. But yeah, I think we can call that 2001 a sheep odyssey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Secret phrase.
Is it secret phrase? Is that the title of the podcast?
That is the secret phrase, and it also might be the title, depending on how creative I get. 2001, a sheep odyssey.
Steven, if you're listening to this, my brother, I'm coming to L.A.
With 2,000 sheep.
No. Start putting together the sheep.
2001, a sheep odyssey is your secret phrase. Cool. Great fact. Who else is next?
It's just me left.
All right. Let's go.
Okay. So last week I talked about, you know, two choices. This week you're getting the other one.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
My mom used to do that when we picked out clothes for the week.
As you are driving down Hollywood Boulevard with 1,999 sheep in the back of your truck,
mm-hmm.
you stop at a light.
Okay.
Right. The average person in their lifetime spends how much time at a red light?
In their lifetime?
In a lifetime.
What unit are we using?
I will do any conversion that you'd like.
Somebody break out the calculators.
I think that you should tell us the unit, though, that you're asking for, because that would help us narrow it down.
I'm going to go hours.
Let's go days.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be days.
It's got to be days.
I mean, weeks, months?
I've been on Connecticut Avenue in rush hour. It could be days.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though.
That's in one city.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, what percentage of the population are out in rural areas that don't have necessarily a lot of stoplights, and also how many people that are living in the most populated metropolitan areas that are walking versus driving, right? Because this is driving specific?
Yes.
Waiting on
a red light to turn green. So it could be walking as well.
I'd also argue you're on my route to work. It involves less traffic lights than maybe the average person. That run down Military Road at the very least.
Depends. Mm-hmm.
I think the better way, if I was putting it together, the better way to do it would be to say, how much time do you spend driving per day?
Sure.
And then roughly how much time do you spend at lights per day?
Less today than usual.
No, you spend a couple minutes at a light per day. I don't know, but I think it's got to be high. So I don't want to spend time doing the math because we're about to wrap up this episode. But I'm going to say 132 days.
Okay. If we're playing Price is Right rules, I'll say 140 days.
One day.
One day.
Okay, I'm going to say like 75 days.
So Michael still finishes last. Ross is the closest, but only because he just topped Lindsay to top Lindsay. It's 6 months.
6 months.
Roughly Whoa. 6 months of your life, or 182 and a half days.
Wow.
Spent waiting at red lights over your lifetime.
Wild.
And I am 100% convinced that at 40 years old, which is roughly halfway done with my life, I've already eclipsed that because I have that kind of luck. Whenever I drive, I hit every red light.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
You ever have those days that you hit every green light? It's just like...
No.
I've had it a couple times.
But, Nick.
Yep.
But. The great universe balances that out for you because you always
get
parking.
Yeah. I have incredible parking karma. Yeah.
I have neither of those things. So
I get pretty decent parking karma.
I'm also pretty.
My eyes hurt.
I also have amazing parking karma.
My eyes hurt so much. Okay, so we got our secret phrase. We got all our facts. Ross, I don't think you're here next week, but we're definitely, I think, going to have you back on.
Sounds good.
We had an enjoyable experience. Do you have 10 to 20-ish seconds? Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Come to St. Arnold's. It's a fun time. Delicious food. And the trivia is a really good time. It's really competitive.
The host is great.
I hear they have a good host. People seem to like
them. Do you do magic when you're hosting?
I don't. But if you want me to do a magic trick for you while I'm hosting, say the secret phrase of the podcast 2 weeks ago, and maybe I'll do it for you if I can remember it.
Yeah.
All right.
And, on the red line.
So yeah, it's right. It's literally, you can see it right when you get to the top of the escalator, which was under construction until recently.
And non-DC folks, if you want packets or anything, head to iHeartCityTrivia.com or Bridgetown Trivia. We're kind of all over, so it's pretty fun. The end.
Cool. And Trivia Magic coming up.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Ross.
We don't know either.
Bye.